Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, Monday through Friday in the United States, 5 till 7 Central, that's 6 till 8 Eastern, 3 till 5 Pacific, and in New Zealand it is Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till midday, until we have daylight savings, then it's like 11 a.m. till 1, and then we have daylight savings again in the United States, and it becomes like midday till 2. 2 p.m. Over the summertime. So, yeah, it's pretty confusing if you're in New Zealand. But if you're in the States, nothing ever changes. Kind of like the ruthless amount of criminal scumbaggery that is running the country and keeps getting freaking elected by all the stupid idiots who think that their votes actually matter when they're probably just, you know, for lack of a better term, demonic representations of humanity, in my considered opinion. Not to say that they're all demons and everything, but if they were, they'd certainly be acting pretty similarly. Okay, and my very special guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and we are talking about their gin. And speaking of which, her websites are visionaryliving.com and ginuniverse.com. Now, the topic I wanted to get into starting off the second hour is a gin and tonic. Is there some kind of a tonic that you can take to prevent yourself from becoming possessed or attacked or stalked by the gin?
There are lots of remedies, but not all of them work for everyone in all situations. And so I polled a lot of experts and a lot of experiencers and experimented with a lot of things myself in the cases I've investigated myself to see what seems to work the best. And there are a number of fronts that can be approached. One is a host of remedies that really deal with a lot of the supernatural phenomenon, just getting the energy, breaking up the energy that makes it difficult for them to manifest in our dimension. They have to come into our dimension from another realm, and we don't really understand or even know all of the conditions that exist for that to happen. There are certain places around the planet where that seems to be easier than others. But breaking up that energy can make it much harder for them to actually be present here. So old remedies, things like iron. The iron weakens many spirits, including negative spirits. It's been a time-honored remedy against fairies as well. But placing iron around the outside of a home or in a room, if you're having a lot of bedroom visitations, it can be very helpful. The use of the Seal of Solomon as a personal amulet has worked for some. People have talked quite a bit about prayer, and once again, there are no uniformities. People will swear by things like the Lord's Prayer. For other people, it does not work a bit for them. For people in the middle, it works for a while, then doesn't work. So prayer can be effective. All these things can be effective, but they may not last. The use of willpower, that is what we call righteous anger and willpower. And this is seems to be the most effective for people who are having repeated attacks and contacts. Not everyone is plagued consistently for long periods of time. They may only have a few interactions. This seems to be the most effective, that at some point the chronic victim needs to find some sort of internal power, which is a combination of your own directed and focused will, your connection to whatever your spiritual center is, the strength that you feel you draw on from the realm of the divine, and combining that to create some sort of force field that prevents the entities from having attachments or close contact. And this has been discussed quite a bit in the abduction literature. And abductees have gone through the same sorts of things, like how do I stop these, and they try many things and don't work. And the ones who get the best relief find this inner power. People who are engaged in some sort of spiritual practice, a sense of a connection to the spiritual realms, a practice of prayer and meditation. It's sort of like going to the spiritual gym. You increase the buffer around you.
About animals? The Egyptians believed that cats were like the guardians of the underworld, and if you want to be protected from dark entities, you'd have a cat near you.
Well, in jinn lore, it said that the jinn do not like wolves. But I have not encountered much in modern practices where images or some sort of wolf totems are used, you know, as a prophylactic against them. In fact, I think that they account for some of these shape-shifted forms of dogmen and wolfmen that are out there. So there are certain prayers in a variety of religions that are said to be effective. Folklore from the Middle Eastern world is full of remedies, you know, spiritualized water, spiritualized foods, you know, things that we find in our folklore here about ways to keep negative things out. But fundamentally, the bottom line is, I believe, finding something within yourself. Anne Druffel, a well-known ufologist, and others have called it sovereignty. I think that's a good term for it. The sovereignty of the individual not to be violated in certain ways. And here again is very new territory for most human beings. And so we have a very poor idea of what the rules of engagement are, if there are any.
Well, if that's the case, then surely we haven't solved or even fully understood this phenomenon yet. And one's got to ask, you know, is there an end game to all of this, either on the human side or on the jinn side or whatever?
The big end game would be the faction that really wants to have domination in this realm again, in our physical reality. And there are researchers who feel that that is a very significant threat. How long a time frame is going to play out is anybody's guess, because here again we're dealing with entities that are not operating on earthier timescales. People have criticized the whole abduction scenario, the ET abduction scenario, by saying, well, you know, if these entities are so smart, why do they keep abducting people? It just seems to be the same thing over and over again, so this sounds like mass hysteria or mass fantasy. But if you look at it from a different timescape, then things make more sense in terms of why over perhaps an entire human lifetime the same sort of thing might be taking place in terms of interactions with the entities. So that would be the big agenda. But then there are lots of smaller agendas. You know, just like you would say, well, it's the neighborhood thug, you know, just trying to, you know, further his own gains. And there are plenty of people, human beings, who have those motives too. They're not participating in any global scheme of any sort. They're just trying to look out for themselves. So none of this really bodes well for human beings, that if we have more incursions of even just the low-level tricksters, it threatens to have a very long-term deteriorating effect on people. These sorts of things can wear down people's willpower, their resolve, their health, their ability to be productive, and their ability to pursue their spiritual growth as well. So even at the low end of things, we should...
You know, it was very funny when you were just listing all those characteristics that they're trying to hold back. I was like, well, it sounds exactly like the government.
Well, there are many people who would be willing to consider that these entities are in league with certain conspiracy elements, certain oppressive government elements, and it can't be ruled out. I do not know what the extent of that might be. I think that we have just scratched the surface on what's going on. And in the two books that I've done on the djinn, this is just like taking the first lid off things. My feeling is that things go much, much deeper. And in fact, even when I started out in my research, I did not expect things to spread in so many directions. And it's like something having infiltrated every possible thing you can think of.
And how deep do you theorize that it might be going? I mean, hypothetically.
They may very well be able to manipulate us in ways that we're not even aware. One of the things that I get into in the djinn connection is reevaluating our old myths and stories about our engagements with ancient aliens and visiting beings. We have stories about supernaturally empowered beings, visitors from the sky. They come and teach people things. They seed civilization. And these beings seem to have a purpose for doing that. Some of them, it's a very self-serving purpose, like the Anunnaki, genetically manipulating people so that they become better workers and slaves. The Watchers, who cohabit with human beings and create the Nephilim, who spread corruption on the land. The Archons, who are these like false gods who want to use humanity for their own ends. We have these stories over and over again in our mythologies, and a lot of them show what I call the footprints of the djinn. You could see the hand of the djinn in there. Whether or not the djinn account for 100% of all of them, I don't think we can go there yet, but the djinn could very well have had a hand in human affairs from the very beginning.
So they could be one of the progenitors of our very species.
They have, according to ancient lore, intermingled genetically with human beings. They are capable of having children with human beings, having hybrid children. And even in the days of King Solomon, these sorts of hybrids were feared because they would have the powers of the djinn and the characteristics and traits of the human being, so they could insinuate themselves in human society, but yet they could be very dangerous, like loose cannons. We have the abducting ETs who are said to be creating hybrids with us. We have reptoid entities that are half human and half reptilian. We have fairies who create hybrids with people. It's deeply embedded in our supernatural lore for human beings to be mixing genetics with all kinds of things.
Well, it's kind of like I found that part of the human experience, attempting to break into other dimensions, like in the spirit of exploration, as it were, always trying to do new things, go places we've never been able to get to before, and this massive quantity of curiosity and creativity that is inherent in being human, I think, is really the thing that really kind of facilitates this and makes almost anything possible. And within the realms of almost certitude, that there's really a hell of a lot going on within the human race that most humans are simply not aware of, because our ability to create things and our collective curiosity has been, in my opinion, deliberately dampened in no small part by mainstream media, so that if anybody ever experiences anything fully creative or fully outside of the realms of alleged normality, it's simply written off now as crazy and not listened to at all.
You know, we have so much potential. And yes, I think more than ever, we're being channeled and manipulated. And I think we're running the risk of becoming very dulled that way. Some of these scenarios that you can extrapolate from just the small amount of evidence we have for these kinds of interactions, they become very scary. You have to start entertaining ideas like does the Matrix, a la, you know, the films, does that kind of reality really exist? Is everything just some sort of artificially manipulated reality to keep us complacent so that we perform some other kind of function for some parasitic or, dominating entity or presence?
Well, if it doesn't literally exist, it certainly figuratively exists. There's umpteen million methods of distraction to keep people slaves and just keep putting their energy into powering the system that dominates them.
Well, all the advances in energy that we have, which are so wonderful on one hand, they do encourage us to think less, to be less creative, because something else will do it for us. And I'm very alarmed by the increasingly shortened attention spans that human beings have because we're incapable of focusing on anything for more than a few seconds at a time.
Have you noticed that? You know, some people's eyes just glaze over within only a few seconds. Like, that's as far as they can hold their attention for.
The visual media that that's in our diet, so to speak, on television and in films, it's geared toward rapid movement, rapid change. Going to a film, for example, with any sort of sustained dialogue in it is a rarity these days. And we have generations now of young people who have their faces in their cell phones all the time. They can't do anything without consulting their cell phone every few seconds.
I noticed that as well. Whole lot of friends together at a table. They're only looking at their cell phones. We'll be right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest today is Rosemary Ellen Guiley from visionaryliving.com and ginuniverse.com. The bridge between the physical and the metaphysical, or the paranormal and the normal, rather, seems to be, I don't know, in recent times for me at least, Rosemary, to be closing up a little bit. Like, it's becoming an inescapable reality for me that there are elements within the world that are not only outside my control, but actually outside my understanding. And as I become more aware of people's, you know, research and things of that nature, by like yourself, for example, what occurs to me is you really got to have some kind of faith in yourself or faith in humanity to sort of keep you through all this, because it seems like we're under attack from all sides. And in any war, whether that be spiritual or not, one thing that's really important for the war effort is keeping your morale high. I was wondering, how do you keep your morale high, knowing these things that you know?
Well, I'll tell you, Vinny, does the whole dark side of things does become pretty alarming, but I have always believed, and I still believe, in the forces of good having that will prevail in the long run. And I believe that this is the way the cosmic scheme of things is ordered, that it is the force of wholeness, harmony, completion, and a glue, so to speak, of unconditional love that binds creation together in what we can possibly conceive. If there's something beyond that, who knows what that is. But we have to be aware that we are in a situation of opposites, too, that we have good and so we have bad. We have light and dark, and we have polar opposites. And these are in constant tension for dominance, and, you know, they will swing back and forth. I think ultimately the good has to prevail over things, but getting there can be quite a rough ride. And we've had, just in terms of our human society, you know, periods of long dark ages where it seemed that we lost all of our connection to the forces of good and to not only our ability to see them, but any sort of collective striving toward that. So we don't want that to happen now. And the thing is that we were just talking about with this technology issue is that if you were an invasive force and you couldn't just march in and annihilate people, or I think they would have done that already if they could come through in significant numbers and stay long enough and have the right artillery at their disposal, so to speak. They would have already done that. So there are some sort of forces at play that we may not even be aware of that limit that. But they're obviously looking for advantage. And so you would gain that advantage, first of all, by hiding, by masquerading and covering yourself in some way. You would do it by distracting people on a variety of fronts, you know, the old divide and conquer sort of tactic. And you would weaken them in some way through health, through finances, through constant conflict and chaos, many ways that human beings could literally be worn down on a spiritual level, which would make humanity much easier than to manipulate as a whole. And something like that is going on right now, and we're not aware of it because we are distracted. We're engaged in you know, our worldly affairs. We either don't believe in this stuff, or we're trying to keep our heads above water, or we have literally been broken down by this super technology that has fragmented our attention to the point where we can't focus on anything.
Yeah. Hey, another piece of super technology. Do you know how aliens repair their damaged spacecraft?
I'm sorry, about aliens and spacecraft?
How do aliens repair their damaged spacecraft?
Oh, I don't know.
With a duct tape.
Oh, that's very clever.
I just thought I'd slip that one in there, you know? It's also how they keep their victims quiet when they're abducting them. Preventing motion and so forth. And see, this is my methodology of dealing with the darkness and everything like that, because it's not only just you telling me this. I've had, like, people over the last couple of weeks just coming at me from left, right, and frickin' center coming on the show and talking about all these copious quantities of eclectic scumbaggery that seem to be, you know, inexorably surrounding the entirety of humanity in a vice-like grip of perpetual darkness. And, you know, my defense mechanism for this, and it's been working so far, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, is just comedy, you know, having a few laughs. I don't know how effective that is, or I don't know, has anybody ever tried laughing at the djinn and make them feel bad about themselves by making fun of them, and they go home and cry to their celestial mommy or something?
Well, I don't know if they can make them feel bad. But what I hear on all fronts and what I've experienced myself is that as soon as you are afraid, they've got the upper hand in a very big way. They manipulate fear. And, of course, sometimes when they appear in very hideous forms or in these dark shadow people forms that scare people in the middle of the night, your first instinctive reaction is one of fear. And they can throw off a lot of very hostile energy. So not being afraid is very important in dealing with them. And, of course, comedy, if you can laugh at something, well, that can help you shore up your defenses, too. It just makes your armor a little more like a little more impervious. You know, you got better spiritual titanium around you, so to speak. One of the things that I think is happening, we're already in this, is we are moving toward an interdimensional Earth where these openings are going to be more frequent, more sustained, and we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that we share the planet with other entities who also are here on Earth but live in other dimensions, not to mention beings who manage to find their way here from exoplanetary space as well. And it's a mixture of the good, the bad, and the ugly. What we may be seeing is a skewed perspective now with more manipulative forces, but there are good ones as well. But it seems to revolve around the fact that human beings are, we're not aware of our own sovereignty and our own, I guess I want to say, specialness. You were alluding that a little earlier, Vinny, about our creativity and, you know, all the good things about human beings that makes us very attractive, either as allies or as targets. And we don't seem to have much of a communal sense of self about who we are and our rightful place in the scheme of things.
Well, I hope that we can actually change that mentality, because I don't know about you, Rosemary, but I've been talking to a lot of people all the time, and so many of them have just kind of lost their faith in humanity. They think that we're a cancer on this earth, that there's nothing good about us, that we should be punished, that the more people that die in war, the better, you know, that kind of thing. And what occurs to me is you're just completely out of touch with reality, mate. You're only absorbing one half of it that the darkness in this world actually wants you to see and wants you to believe about humanity and about yourself, so that you will never even bring or even try to bring the light out to shun away the darkness.
Well, that in turn is a likely kind of campaign tactic against us as well, just to make us feel more hopeless, because, you know, the idea that humanity has just gone down the gutter and we might as well just give up. And we can't go that route either. So we really have to, I think, be better fortified and better educated in order to avoid these hazards and to prevent them from getting too much momentum. I am an eternal optimist, and I've never really been one to give myself over to conspiracy theories and the doom and gloom, but those things are out there. We do have to be realistic, and maintaining the right attitude toward it, the right equilibrium, is going to be increasingly important if we are going to survive and thrive.
Mm. Can you say honestly that humanity is on the right track now? Like we're actually starting to overturn this? Because as far as I'm concerned, that is the case, is that we've been living under a dark, predatory, horrific, paranormal system for quite some time now. And with the aid of the internet and the information spreading, expanding people's minds left and center, expansion of consciousness, a lot more research and scientific evidence is coming out now that is actually really encouraging for our ability to fight back against darkness, whether that be normal or paranormal. And I think that we're on the up and up, whilst at the same time, the bad ones are trying to convince us that we're on the down and down.
Things do seem to be very, very polarized, and there's an awful lot of chaos going on right now. Many people, I think, just really searching for direction. We've had so much political and economic upheaval around the planet that these are serious forces that disrupt lives on all fronts and just make survival difficult. And that's another way for the darker side of things to gain a manipulative handhold, is to, you know, break the backs of people financially, break them emotionally, break their health, keep their domiciles in chaos. But every time human beings have reached the bottom of something. We've always managed to get our act together and to rise back up above it. So, like I said, I am the eternal optimist about these sorts of things. And
can I ask,
yes,
what's your source of eternal optimism? Is it a natural thing that's always there, or do you cling to it because you fear the alternative?
A lot of it has to do with the people that I'm in touch with all the time. And, you know, I'm out in the community a lot. I'm on the media, in the media a lot. I'm addressing audiences. I'm having personal interactions with them in cases and via the emails. And I hear from the other side of the fence, too. It's not just people who are having problems, but it's people who are tracking very solidly on the spiritual side of things, who've had uplifting experiences, who've had transformations in their lives, who are dedicated to bringing a higher frequency of spiritual light into their lives and into this world. So I hear about that side, too. The dark side, of course, gets a lot of attention. It makes for the best media. And one of the reasons why I've gone into this area is because I see a need for education here, that if you turn away from it because you don't want to think about it, or you just hope it will go away if you don't think about it, those sorts of things are not very constructive for us either. So it's about bringing things into balance, and my work has always straddled both sides of the fence, the light and the dark, and I see a lot of very powerful forces moving in on the other side too. The side of the benevolent and the good, and the constant striving for the better picture.
Who or what awakened you personally to this kind of thing? I mean, did it happen during childhood or what?
I suppose it did, Vinny. Like a lot of people who become involved in this in a deep way and also on a full-time basis like me, we've had experiences since childhood. Now, I didn't have any really experience that I would consider to be extraordinary in any way, like, a big blowout kind of experience. In fact, I think in many respects, gradual sorts of awakening are often better. They certainly help you integrate things a lot better. But I did have experiences when I was a kid. I had mostly angel and fairy experiences. I have no recollection of ever having been abducted. I became aware of past lives when I was a teenager. I started experimenting in out-of-body travel and the dream state and lucid dreaming and in precognitive dreaming when I was pretty young, too. And those were some of the things that launched my interest in this area. I've always been fascinated by this. And the fact that this is not an equal playing field for people, that some people have these experiences in other realities that they know are genuine, and that's what happened to me. And then other people explain them away or dismiss them or claim that they don't happen at all, that it's not real, that they're just some sort of hallucinatory thing. So I've wanted to look at the how and why behind these experiences all of my life.
Okay, well, let's. I wanted to get into this a little bit more after the break as well, because I think upbringing and really kind of determines what you turn into as an adult. We'll be right back after the break with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I would really love people to be listening live. That's 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern. If you happen to be in the Uber Kingdom, it'll be 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. late at night when all the conspiracy theorists are still awake watching scary documentaries and giving yourself freaking nightmares. And in New Zealand, speaking of a freaking nightmare, 10 a.m. till midday is the time to listen in. That's Tuesday through Saturday because we're broadcasting live from the future. And my very special guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and I would like to ask you just a sort of a, I'm not sure how you're going to answer this, and nobody ever would, but is there anything that you kind of self-censor? Things that you choose not to talk about because you think people might quite not get it, or you're afraid of being judged angrily by people for it?
There's really nothing on my list like that. I don't even have a list like that. I've been very open over the years about my research and also my willingness to change my opinions about things. You know, as any researcher, as you get into finding more evidence and uncovering new leads and things like that, well, some of your old ideas about explanations for things have to go by the wayside. And some researchers are not real willing to do that. I think we have to be willing to do that. So I've always talked about the evolution of my own research. My work is really oriented around the how and why of our experiences, and I'm not real concerned about trying to prove the paranormal to anyone. For me, it's existed my whole life. I've taken that as a fundamental truth of reality. And so the audience that I address consists of people like that who've had experiences. They're looking for explanations. They want to understand how these things fit in. They may even be interested in wanting to explore other kinds of experiences. And I always tell people, you know, look first for natural explanations. And then if you can't find any that reasonably fit, then, you know, we consider the supernatural and the paranormal. So over the years, my own boggle point has gotten pushed further and further out. And the things that I've taken on board, you know, years ago, I probably could not have imagined going into all of this with the djinn and hidden agendas and things like that. It was a natural growth of my research. I came across evidence that I simply had to check out, leads I had to follow. And I had to integrate the findings that I came across. So, I leave it to people to make their own conclusions about things. I have found over the years that there are many people who resonate with these areas, and I think that a lot of very serious inquiring people, a lot of very balanced, people that you would say, you know, these are not fringes that we're dealing with. These are mainstream people who've had extraordinary experiences, and they're looking for information and for perspective.
How do you maintain your perspective on all of this? Because I've got the philosophy that if you travel to hell, hell comes back with you to a large degree. And if you've got your head buried in this paranormal realm with vengeful djinn and so on and so forth, has it ever really worn you down at some point?
I've never felt worn down. I've always felt that I've had a great deal of spiritual help and protection around me, and that I am doing what I agreed to do or plan to do in this lifetime. I believe in reincarnation, and that we set out a blueprint before we come into a life, and that this lifetime, the inquiries that I'm pursuing as a writer and researcher, Are follow-ups on other lifetimes where I've had similar activities as well. So all of these things have helped me to maintain my own equilibrium and perspective. For most of my life, I have had my own spiritual practice. I consider myself to be a deeply spiritual being, not necessarily religious. I have
in
yet to find
opinion,
a religion that satisfies all of my spiritual needs, but I appreciate religions at the same time. And I've followed spiritual practices of meditation and prayer and a study of esoteric philosophy, religious philosophy, you know, trying to find the plumb line toward, you know, higher purpose. And I think that all of us are called to that in our own way, whether we find that through our families, through our jobs, or some sort of overarching spiritual pursuit, that's really the calling that goes out to each and every one of us.
Can I ask as well, who's your who's one of your biggest influences, or rather, who's given you the biggest platform to speak about those of you been on any mainstream media things like NBC, CNBC, or whatever?
Well, in terms of media platform, probably shows like Coast to Coast AM. I've been on Coast to Coast AM for quite a few years now, and that has a very sizable audience. I find that for this kind of work, radio is a much better medium than television because you can get into things more in depth. And I've appeared in lots of documentaries over the years. I like information-based shows rather than, you know, a lot of the reality shows. But radio is a very good medium for getting a lot of information across. And the audiences who like radio are very responsive, and I get feedback. And the feedback I get is very important to me because I listen to what people are saying and what they want to know and what their experiences are, and that helps me direct my own research as well. In terms of researchers, it depends on what front you're looking at, you know, from the metaphysical into the paranormal. But certainly in regard to these topics that we've been talking about tonight, Vinny, like the djinn and the manipulative entities and things like that, the work of John Keel has been very important to me. He was a friend of mine as well while he was alive, and John was very much ahead of his time with a lot of his ideas about what's out there and what is manipulating or shaping our experiences. He did tend to have a pessimistic view toward the end. He said that, you know, this was all a cosmic trickster and there wasn't anything we could do about it. It was something that was playing with us at our own expense. But he talked about portholes and windows into parallel dimensions and beings from the planet coming through these dimensions, things that, you know, 30, 40 years ago were not in discussion much in terms of what was happening. So I've always considered him to be one of the true pioneers in the field.
And in terms of being... Well, who you are, I presume you're pretty happy about that, you know, and your place in the world right now. And in terms of your methodologies for just, you know, keeping on an even keel and going through things as you do and keeping your positive attitude, what advice would you give to people who are maybe struggling right now to deal with these realities that you've already seemed to have dealt with?
Daily practices of meditation are very important because it really is like working out the spiritual gym. There's something about, and praying is important too, but meditating gets us into different levels of consciousness that seems to strengthen the buffer around us, the aura of our vital life force benefits from that. And to be well-read spiritually, philosophically, and even in the paranormal literature. I think it's very important to have these spiritual underpinnings, whatever religion you want to follow or whatever esoteric philosophy you want to follow, it's important to have that because it's a foundation that you need to come back to over and over again to keep your bearings and get your bearings when you've been thrown for a loop. I have.
Have you ever been thrown for a loop, have you?
I think everyone goes through dark nights of the soul that happen in different ways. And I've had times in my life where I felt like I was losing my bearings, that I was being deserted by, you know, my spiritual allies. I had to find my way by myself. Most of these were just navigating the ups and downs of daily life. It's not so much a movie kind of confrontation with evil where it's, you know, the green slime running down the walls, so to speak. But dealing with the darker entities has been problematic from time to time. And you have problems. I haven't had, real serious problems like a lot of my cases. But they do manage to disrupt things from time to time. So, I'm like just every other person out there and going through highs and lows and often struggling to find the line of truth. And that's really what we're all searching for. We are all searching for that truth with a capital T that explains to us who we are and what our journey is in this life and as a soul.
All right. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Her websites are visionaryliving.com and ginuniverse.com. Make a donation at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.